As an illustration, there is a fact of the balsam tree that when it is cut open, that there flows forth the balsam from the tree. But it has to be wounded and it has to bleed. Likewise, the Lord Jesus, it is from his wounds that flow to us the healing medicine of Calvary. And when we take this in, that by his stripes we are healed, we have gotten the inner secret and the very core message of the gospel. Now, Isaiah takes up this language. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and it is a joy to be on the message of the gospel today to bring you the way of salvation through the cross of the Lord Jesus. In our program today, we have the message of the unlit cross. That's the final few words on the program. The main message is on Isaiah 53. With his stripes, we are healed. And I just want to introduce these things by rehearsing the wonder of the gospel. Substitutionary atonement is the very core doctrine of the gospel. If you don't grasp the fact that the Lord stood in your place while he suffered and died on the cross, you miss the whole concept of salvation. God sent his Son and spared not his Son because he was a sacrifice appointed of God to suffer in our place. This is the very genius of God's covenant design of the cross. Christ would stand in the place of his people and act as their representative. And only by the doctrine of substitution can we make sense of the cross and the language of the prophet Isaiah here in chapter 53 of this prophecy. I want to read to you the verses 4 through 8. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. This is the gospel. And in like manner, John the Baptist spoke of the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And on today's program, we get to this message. May the Lord open your heart, draw you to the cross, and save your soul. That's my prayer today. And now we move to our hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound.
Thank you.
I think everybody knows what a substitute is. A substitute takes the place of another. And here is the secret of the gospel. If you understand and rejoice in the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus in your place, then you're saved. You're a Christian. If you're only believing in the facts of Jesus' birth, life, and death, resurrection, you can believe all the facts. But if you do not grasp that Jesus took your place, lived for you, died for you, rose again for you, if that is not your thanksgiving prayer, then you're not a Christian. You are not saved. And so today I want us to go directly right into the heart of this great truth, the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus, the one who died for me. As an illustration, there is a fact of the balsam tree that when it is cut open, that there flows forth the balsam from the tree. But it has to be wounded and it has to bleed. Likewise, the Lord Jesus, it is from his wounds that flow to us the healing medicine of Calvary. And when we take this in, that by his stripes we are healed, we have gotten the inner secret and the very core message of the gospel. Now, Isaiah takes up this language. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And I want you today to take heed and to enter into this medicine for sin-sick souls. And the miracle is that the wounds, the suffering of the Lord Jesus heals the very worst of sinners. There is not a sin. There is not a vice. There is no guilt that the blood, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus cannot cure. And if you complain today, but there are no sins like my sins. There's no other that is so unworthy as I am. Then you need to remember that Jesus completely saves all who come to him. Never did a patient go without a cure who accepted the balm, the healing medicine of Jesus' precious blood. I read an article called The Spiritual Chemist, and it states it this way. See how Christ, whose death was so bitter to himself, becomes sweetness itself to us. Rejection was his. Acceptance is ours. The wounding was his, but the healing is ours. The blood was his, but the balm is ours. The thorns were his, but the crown is ours. The death was his, but the life is ours. The price was his, but the purchase is ours. There is more power in Christ's blood to save than there is in sin to destroy. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the cure is wrought. And yes, my friend, this is the medicine that flows to you and me from Calvary. I want everyone here today, every teenager, every adult who is with us for this service to be taking communion and bread, this cup and bread. I want everyone to be enjoying what Jesus purchased from the cross. Now, I qualify that by saying, of course, that these are but symbols of Jesus' death. But we do so by faith, remembering the Lord. He has commanded us to remember him in this manner. And we do so by getting our eyes beyond the signs and symbols to see in them the one who personally died in our place. And so when you take that cup and you drink, when you take that bread and you eat, you are truly saying, I believe that this is the cure for my sin. This is the way to be rightly related to God and have peace with Him. Now, the lament of the Christian church and of my own heart today as well is that while men seek healing from sinfulness, that they go to all the quacks and all the false potions that are presented, and they stop short of Calvary. Psychology will never save. Education will never save. Humanism will never save. If you stop short of believing in the work of the cross, you will never be healed from the curse of sin. And so I bid you today, I plead with you today, do not stop short of coming all the way, like doubting Thomas, putting your hands into the very nail-pierced hands and into the wounds of the Lord Jesus. And as Jesus said to Thomas, be not faithless or doubting, but believe. And Thomas, we know, was mightily, wonderfully convinced and blessed by touching the wounds of Jesus. Now, Jesus promises to be in the midst of his people, where two or three are gathered in the midst of them, and he's here today to minister to your heart. And I pray that you will touch him, and he will touch you. We touch him by coming to his word, by grappling and grasping the essential kernel of the truth of the gospel. Jesus died in my place, and his wounds, his blood, his suffering heals me. I have a number of points here today. Every preacher has points. You don't want an unstructured sermon. People talk about they don't like organized religion, but you would want an organized sermon. You wouldn't want disorganized religion, and you wouldn't want a disorganized sermon. So we have a number of points here. For note takers, for those that like to get at least the headings, well, number one, have faith in Jesus' healing because it is a perfect healing. And you'll notice, and we go to the text here, I don't want just merely to put my thoughts down here. I want you to go right to Isaiah 53 and verse 5. With his stripes, we are healed. It's done. It's a perfect healing. It's a finished healing. The Son of God did not go to the cross to shed his blood to purchase part salvation for men. His blood must secure eternal salvation, or it's no salvation at all. Now, Jeremiah, he complained in his day about those false prophets, and they preached they healed the hurt of the people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And no doubt there are many religions that give to people a false peace. And I'm sure today in Canada there are thousands of people in churches that are getting a false peace because it stops short of Calvary, the work of the cross. And if it ends at the church and it ends at the ceremonies of religion, it will bring a false peace. It will only heal slightly. It may soothe and calm the conscience for a bit, but not on the judgment day. And so we need a gospel that heals completely. The Savior who shed his blood on the cross, whose stripes of atoning punishment for his people, is the real healer of our souls. And he comes to your sin-sick soul, and he offers full pardon. F-U-L-L. It's not F-O-O-L. We do not want a full pardon. We want a full to the brim, absolute, perfect healing. And we know it works because there are already souls in heaven. We read of believers in the blood of Jesus. These are they that came out of tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so this is perfect healing. And heaven will be populated with a vast number of people who have been healed by looking to the wounds and to the precious blood of Jesus. Will you be one of them? Will you be there because you have been washed, redeemed, cured from sin by looking unto Jesus? What a wonderful statement. By his stripes, we are healed. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. The whole doctrine of justification teaches us that justification is an act of God. It's done once. And while every day we live the Christian life as Christians and we seek to obey God, we know that our obedience is very imperfect. And we know that our walk is not always what it should be. And we know that there are many weaknesses and failures, even in the best of God's people. We all have feet of clay and we are weak. But when it comes to our justification, it relies only on the finished work of the Lord Jesus. It is all his work, none of ours. Justification is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are pardoned. Not for any work or righteousness that we have done, but for his own work in us. And so, rejoice today, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, and take this bread and cup with confidence. This is the message of confidence and of assurance to your heart. You may have had a bad week. You may have felt a failure. You may have been perhaps undisciplined and missed out in your Bible reading and prayer, and you come to God's house today and you wonder, should I even participate at all? Should I be taking that cup and that bread? But if your faith is in what Jesus has done for you, take, eat. Let us show forth our faith and our confidence in the Lord Jesus. Point number two today is we're to have faith in Jesus' healing because the Lord suffered without limit, without limit. And here we have the limitless depths of the Savior's love. This is the amazing thing about the Christian gospel. There's no other religion in the world, there's no other message like this, that the eternal second person of the Trinity left heaven's glory, came into this world, became flesh for us, went to the cross and died in our place, because Jesus was no ordinary man. He was the God-man. He was God and man in one person. So that in his death on the cross, the love was limitless. And he died, he loved us unto death. He didn't stop short of the cross. He didn't say, I'll come down and do a few good works for these people, but I won't lay down my life as a sacrifice. Oh, he did. And therein he demonstrated the limitless nature of his love. You might say, but preacher, would you show me that in the Bible? I've come here today to a free Presbyterian church, a small denomination. Who are you to tell me these things? Well, I would like to take you here in the Bible, back a little bit in Isaiah, to chapter 43 and verse 1. Chapter 43, verse 1. Isaiah was the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament. He preached more of Christ than any other of the Old Testament prophets. And here you will see that he uses the word Savior and redeemed and the personal touch of the Savior's grace. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Can't get much more specific than that. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. When you get a letter, you always want to see, who is this letter written to? Now, no doubt in the Old Testament, this was to God's people, Israel, and God put their name on it. This Bible, of course, is the miraculous, inspired word written for our learning. And here is God's word to you today, that when he died on that cross, he loved you. He cared for your soul, and he has called you by name. If you look at verse 11, you'll see the word Savior. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. That's Isaiah 43:11. Is he your Savior today? He wants to be. He will be. And praise God, for many here today he is. Another passage in Isaiah is chapter 49, and we'll look at verse 13. Again, so specific and so personal. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And here's now the question that I just raised. Is this really for me? And Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Oh, dare there be anyone here today in that category? You once knew the blessedness of salvation and the power of Jesus in your heart, but you feel for some reason a division, a separation, and you line up with these words, the Lord has forgotten me. Oh, lead on. Here's the Lord's answer to that very objection. Behold, wonderful answer here. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I think those were not Facebook wall, but Jerusalem walls. And those places of God's presence and God's visitation. And he says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Now, when you want to keep a note, there's no better place than to write it on the palm of your hand. That's the place where it will not be forgotten. If you write it and put it in your breast pocket, well, you might get it next Sunday when you come to church again. But if you write it in the palm of your hands, it'll be there until it is erased. And the Lord has written your name upon the palm of his hands. And think of Jesus on the cross. These words in Isaiah, of course, were written 800 years before Calvary. And when Jesus was on that cross, when those nails were driven into the hands of your Redeemer, your name was already engraved in those hands. He knew you. The Father had given you to him. You were from all eternity chosen to eternal life. And when Jesus stretched out his hands upon that cross, kneeled to that Roman gibbet in his sufferings, your name was there. He died for you. He suffered in your place and in your stead. It's really, really true. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man at Calvary. And we can never plumb the depths of the infinite love, the limitless love of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and from our message today on Isaiah, wounded for our transgressions, we need to preach the cross and tell the story of Calvary. What a tragedy that in so many quarters this message is lost and people are perishing for want of the light. I'm reading here a story on the unlighted cross. Six lives were snuffed out when a plane crashed into a mountain in Pennsylvania near a 68-foot stainless steel cross which served as a marker for a Methodist training center. The Associated Press dispatch reporting the tragedy said, the cross has electric lights, but they were not turned on at the time. From this incidental reference to the unlighted cross, one might conclude that perhaps this terrible tragedy might have been averted if the cross had been lighted. The message of the cross, the only hope of eternal life, has ceased to be the theme of some pulpits, and souls are groping in spiritual and moral darkness. Christ crucified is still the power of God unto salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I hope that today that we may be, by God's grace, enabled to ever keep the light of the cross shining brightly. Churches are to do that, and Christians are to do that. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. And I pray that here in this radio broadcast, we will ever keep the light of the cross burning for perishing souls. If you're not a Christian today, go to the cross. Get on your knees and call on the Lord to save you from your sins. Now, you don't need to travel all the way to Israel to find the place where Jesus died. You can look by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now you must come to that cross by faith, as a sinner, in all your lost, guilty condition, and plead the work of Christ on that cross, that he died as your substitute, that you will be saved. And if you don't make that prayer, you'll never be in heaven. You'll never have peace with God. You will lose your soul. And so I beg with you today to plead with the Lord Jesus and cry unto him for salvation. And no doubt he will save you. He has promised, all they that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I trust that today that you will trust the Lord Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And if you do so, let me know. Send me an email, phone me up, or write here to this church address. We look forward to hearing from you. Stay tuned now to these closing announcements. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. I hope you've been blessed today through the ministry of God's Word. I'd also be delighted to talk with you. My personal phone number is 604-897-2040. Please call to let me know that you're listening, and we can open the Bible and pray together. For all the information about our radio ministry in Canada and our churches in Buffalo, Scarborough, Port Hope, and Barrie, please go to ltbs.ca. If you have been blessed today, please kindly consider helping us to cover the cost of airtime. Your gift, large or small, will make the difference. You can donate online at ltbs.ca or by mail. Our mailing address is LTBS 18790, 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. My phone number again is 604-897-2040. And remember to join us again at this time next week on this station as we let the Bible speak.